Welcome to the Final Siren podcast. I'm your host, Michael Alvaro. We've got another special AFLW draft preview edition today. Of course, joining me with me, as always, is Peter Williams, chief editor of Draft Central. How are you today, mate?
Yeah, really good. Draft's almost here, so very excited to be a part of it and looking forward to getting stuck into this preview.
Absolutely. And with me as well is Declan Reeve, AFL Draft Central analyst. How are you?
I'm great, Michael. Thanks for having me on.
No issues at all. So we're going to be running through club by club, a little preview of what they might do with their picks. And if you've listened to our Phantom Draft edition, we're going to be taking over the same clubs in analysing each of them. So I guess right off the bat, we're going to go with Adelaide and Peter. So tell us, Pete, what are the Crows going to do? Obviously, they've got a pretty exclusive look at their own South Australian pool and a pretty good bunch of talent to pick from.
Yeah, definitely. Adelaide probably have the one of the hardest sort of jobs going out, but in a good way, because they've got the three selections at picks 17, 20 and 34. And you would assume that they'll probably opt for the two AFLW Academy members in Zoe Prowse and Gypsy Shermer. Obviously Prowse a ruck, but she can actually roll through the midfield, play forward. She does a bit of everything, really athletic. With Rhianna Metcalf now ruled inactive for next season, that sort of opens the door for ruck. We know that Montana McKinnon didn't get much of a showing, despite being a really high pick herself and AFLW Academy member. So it'll be good to see how they juggle all that. But I think Prowse will just be a bit too good not to select for them. And then obviously Shermer can potentially play that Chloe Shear role if they wish. So she can definitely come in and have an impact, but also play around the ground. It'll be the third selection that makes it a little more difficult, because you've got about four options that are sort of pretty even in, obviously, Brooke Tonan, Sample W premiership player, late addition to the AFLW Academy. So someone who definitely the Crows would have to look at as a halfback wing type solution. Zoe Venning in her own rights, an All-Australian this year, West Adelaide best and fairest winner. So she's up the other end, half forward midfielder. So a good option there for a bit of speed and I guess agility, if you like. Talita Buetki is one that they could roll through the midfield. And then you've got Lauren Brigette as well as that forward and inside contested mid if they need. So there's quite a few options there. And of course, Abby Ballard's another one who, you know, received a draft combine invite and has a potent left foot as that mid forward. So they've got a few options, but only three picks. So it's definitely going to be a challenging time for the Crows, but in a very good way.
And speaking of draft combine invites, Leah Cutting, a mature ager, of course, did receive one as well. Pretty good Sample W form this season for her. Is she sort of in the mix? Do you think she might even get a look in at another club?
Yeah, I think she's a perfect candidate for an interstate club, say a Collingwood or a North, or, you know, obviously North might look like they're picking up Kim Rennie, but Bulldogs might have a look at her, like those kind of clubs that might pick them up after the draft that need a straight up ruck solution, you know, or maybe they just want a second one coming in. But definitely I think she'll be one that other clubs look at, because obviously Adelaide have are pretty stocked for rucks, and they've obviously got Prowse coming in as well. So you'd expect she's a perfect solution for a club interstate.
Absolutely. And speaking of interstate, at least to us down here in Victoria, Brisbane is the next side, and it's with you again, Peter. So obviously the Queensland pool pretty stacked this year. They didn't quite translate that to national championships form, but there's a few good selections here for the Lions.
Yeah, for sure. Now, we know that Brisbane have got a lot of experience going out the door after winning the flag. Emma Zilkey's obviously gone. Lauren Arnell's gone. They're both, you know, retired. And then Jordan Zanchetta and Rhianne Lugger are amongst those who are also departing. They picked up Phoebe Monaghan from the Tigers, so she'll be a straight inclusion into their, you'd think, half-back line. Another half-back they could pick up with their first or second selection, Maggie Harmer. Tough at it, good in the air, able to run really hard, very good runner across the board. Very different to Michaela Pauger up the other end. And obviously Pauger is one who can play as a half forward, can push up the ground a bit, wants to build her tank a little bit, but very clean and classy, able to use the ball very well. And then a couple more names that are worth mentioning. Bella Smith, really inside midfielder, could slot straight in. Loves the contested stuff. So someone who can just immediately have an impact in the midfield. And then you've got Abby Hewitt, who's can play any line on the field. So someone who is a real, I guess, fix-it player who can play forward, mid or back. So they've got those, and then a couple of the Brisbane Academy members in Christine Ocasino, who captained the state off halfback, booming boot. So there's a few different options there, but certainly the top few have made their mark this season.
Absolutely, and those Lions obviously doing really well regenerating with their academy products. I'd be keen to see how the reigning premiers do at the draft. Of course, the next side up on the list is Carlton, and as a blue bagger myself, that's the team I took into the draft and was pretty pumped to select for. And they're in a pretty interesting position. The Blues obviously lost a heap of experience, and that once really strong midfield led by Matty Prasparkas is looking a little bare this season. So midfield depth is going to be a really key area to top up, and it could well get a couple of sliders sort of at 10 and 11 with their first picks, and then they've got another good grouping with 23 and 26. So in terms of the players, they look at Tara Slender's one who might slip through the cracks, and she's obviously going to be a best available type. Pretty versatile player there, can play a key forward, which suits a need as well with Taylor Harris gone. But if you're looking at midfield depth, if Tess Craven gets through past Geelong's picks in the top 10 there, she's going to be a pretty valuable one. Ella Friend could slip through as that forward slash winger. So there's plenty of versatile options for the Blues there in the pipeline. And I think towards the latter end, they're going to look towards a bit more of that forward firepower. So obviously Talia Gillard's one who could be selected. There's not many talls in the Victorian pool once you look past Georgia Campbell, who's aligned to Melbourne. So Eliza James, the one I took in the draft, in our Phantom draft, obviously, who's in the mixer too. So plenty of options for the Blues and a really exciting draft to look forward to just regenerate and see if they can get back to the heights that they did a couple of seasons ago. Next in line though, Collingwood, and we're going to get Declan into the discussion now with the Magpies. How do you see their draft panning out?
Yeah, so obviously Collingwood traded in for need really well throughout the offseason, bringing in Sabrina Frederick to fill up a roll-up forward, and then signing Alison Downey as a delisted free agent from Carlton. So I think it's pretty obvious that they're looking to go into a bit of a win-now mode. So I think they might look more towards their VFLW program than some other clubs might. So someone like Liv Maher, who missed out on the draft last year, has been playing a lot with them. Obviously an ex-Eastern Rangers teammate of Tani Brown. So they formed a pretty good combination in that midfield. They've got Matilda Zander, who's been there for a couple of years, and she's looking like a really good midfield option. Imogen Barnett, who I believe led the VFLW goal kicking as well this season. So they've got options there. And then in terms of like NAB League selections, probably looking more towards those ones that have a bit more potential that might slide from the first round. So someone like Eliza James might be there from Oakley. You might see Ingrid Hootsma from Geelong Falcons. Keely Sharar from Eastern Rangers, those sort of, you know, athletic and X-factor types that maybe just need a string of a bit more consistency together.
Absolutely. Next team on the list then is Fremantle heading west with Peter once again, and a pretty good selection of West Australian girls as well this year. How do you see the Dockers faring in this year's draft?
Yeah, I think obviously Fremantle have lost a fair bit of experience. They've sort of had about 8 players out the door, getting 6 selections in. Obviously Sabrina Duffy and Ash Sharp not available for next season. Obviously Duffy's taking time off and Sharp is pregnant, so neither of them will take part in next year's season. So they're looking for a fair bit of top up in terms of players. Obviously Courtney Rowley's one who could be there depending on what West Coast do. The Eagles have the first selection. Rowley's probably the one they go with, but Amy Franklin's the other one that is worth picking up as a key position utility. You'd think whichever one the Eagles don't go, that Fremantle will swoop on. The third option there is Charlie Thomas, who's another tall, about 175, not quite Franklin, but that tall sort of forward who can play midfield as well. And, you know, uses the ball so well, been injured this year, but she's pretty good and, you know, she's able to use it when going forward. So I think that she'll be an immediate impact when she's able to get back out there. And obviously that's Fremantle's first selection, and then West Coast will have another 2. So the Eagles will pick 3 of the first 4, but players that might be left, depending on what the Eagles do, you've got Dana East as a midfielder. You've got Sarah Lacay as a ruck. An interesting potential could be Jade Halfpenny, who's coming across as a forward. So if they don't get Franklin, they might opt to go for Halfpenny as a later sort of option coming out of Norwood. You've got Emily Bennett, Bella Mann, and Beth Schilling, who can all play behind the footy. And then you've got Naira Anderson, Tessa Dumanis, and Chloe Riley ahead. And the other two that are worth mentioning, Ailey Runnels and Teresia Meissner, have come out of the VFLW program to come over to WA. So they'll obviously have to be considered for Fremantle, who have five of the last six selections in the WA pool.
Some interesting times there for Fremantle, one of the top tier sides of the AFLW. But we're swinging over to Geelong, a regenerating team with four picks in the first round, Declan. We know that they like to pick local as well. Is that going to be the case again this year?
Yeah, well, as you say, they're a regenerating team and they've got those four first rounders. So it'll be interesting to see which way they go, whether it does, you know, go clear best available or maybe a bit more of a local flavour. They've got the first Vic pool pick, and I think that'll pretty much answer our question straight away. I think Georgie Prasparkas is the best one that's nominated for Victoria. I'm not sure there's too much argument around that, but they might also consider their local prospect in Tess Craven, who's also an inside midfielder and, you know, a really good player in her own right, and she might be there for their next couple of selections as well. But I think they'll be looking for girls that maybe slip out of that top three. So Tess Craven could be there, Ella Friend, Stella Reid. You might even see sort of a Jade Anthony creep up that high, Nike Dojic, and a couple more local girls in someone like Annie Lee or Poppy Sharp could be there as well. And then they've obviously got a later pick, and I think with that, they probably look at just maybe some more mature reinforcements to come in.
All righty. So we're going to stay with you, Declan, for the second Queensland team. And obviously you spent a bit of time up there this year, a good bit of time in the sun while we were all in lockdown. But the Suns obviously picking with that second half, I guess, of the Queensland pool. How are they going to fare?
Yeah, well, it'd be interesting. Obviously, I think Charlie Robinson's probably the clear one they take with pick one. And if not her, their academy prospect in Tegan Levi, who's also a really good inside midfielder. And then outside of those two, there's a few different options. So they've got two key position players in their academy that have been invited in the national draft combine, or the state combine rather, in Casey Wine and Giselle Davies, who are two good players and could fill up a role either end. You've got sort of some more mature age prospects in Steph O'Brien and Madison Goodwin, who are both athletic prospects and performed really well at the combine. And then obviously their Northern Territory Academy connection as well, where Ashanti Bush and Grace Mulverhill, who Ashanti is a bit more of a live wire small forward and Grace a bit more of a intercept marking defender. They could both be options that I look at as well.
And we're keeping with the theme of G's and interstate teams, at least to us again in Victoria. With GWS, Declan, your side, who do you see landing at the Giants?
GWS have the most picks in the draft, I believe, with six. So we're going to bring in a lot of talent. And I think unless there's some unexpected nominations for the New South Wales zone, it's pretty clear who we're going to take. It'll just be the girls who have been invited to the combine. So Ali Morfitt from our academy and Jess Doyle from the Swans Academy, they're both AFL Academy girls and good players in their own right, with Ali being a really strong ruck and Jess being a pretty dynamic forward that can push up the ground. Then we've got girls like Georgie Fowler, who didn't participate in the Under-19s Championships, but her performances for the Premier Sydney League have really caught the eye and earned her an invite. Brodie Mowbray, who's a strong tackler and a two-way runner in the midfield, would be in with a chance. And then we've got two talls in Maddie Hendry and Tegan Jermich, who impressed at the Championships.
Plenty to choose from for GWS there, but a team which did really, really well in the off-season, obviously, was Melbourne, and looks like they're fully on the way to a premiership tilt, I guess, with their recruiting, but they've still got a couple of interesting picks in the draft, Declan. Who do you see in the pipeline for the Demons there?
Yeah, obviously, we've spoken about Georgia Campbell before, had the option to nominate either the Bulldogs or Melbourne as a father-daughter prospect, and she opted for Melbourne, being an eastern suburbs girl, so I think the closeness there is really drawn her, and she's just a super athletic ruck and tall prospect, and I've said it before, I think that she could develop into a midfielder with her athletic traits. So that'll be one to watch and probably choose up their first pick, as is her talent. Then they've got a few more later picks where they might look at some sliders or some more dynamic girls that can play forward, midfield and backline. So someone like Danny Nong's Ashley Richards could be in contention there. Michaela Appleby, Zali Friswell's a really strong centre square player. They might look to bring in Grace Matzer as well, who performed well in the recent 2K time trials that they did in Victoria. So those are just a few names, but I think they'll be one team that sort of shocks many.
And Casey, of course, they might take from their own VFLW program then the D's with the Casey Demons, and another side that tends to do that and has set up really well to do so once again is North Melbourne, Peter. Do you see a few of those mature ages from the VFLW heading through to the Roos?
Yeah, definitely. So obviously North Melbourne have picks 13, 19, sort of 28, 43, 51 and 56. So they're really well balanced there. They've got those sort of five selections. And for me, obviously the one that they've sort of committed to in many ways is Kim Rennie coming out of the Dogs. You'd expect she might go as one of the last picks or certainly later picks. They've got the Tasmanian options. So you look at a couple of those. Perry King's the one that jumps off the page. Obviously, she's going to be great value, taking her late in the draft. Sarah Skinner still eligible under that Tasmanian link. So she nominates Tasmania. She still travels across to play with North, but they can get her as basically exclusive towards the back end of the draft. And then if you go have a look at some of the other options, obviously Megan Keeley's another one, the skipper at VFLW level. Even though she is Tasmanian, she did relocate to Victoria, so isn't eligible under the Tasmanian link. But obviously North will be very, very keen to potentially bring her on if she's there at one of their selections. Obviously, a lot of other clubs will be looking at her too, but she's one that they could bring on. In terms of their early selections, you'd expect they might go for best available. They're pretty well suited all over the board. They might look at like a taller player, maybe a Talia Gillard if she's there, or someone like that, maybe an Annie Lee, a Nike Dojok coming off halfback, or potentially another midfielder just to slot in there, depending on how they go with Keeley. You've got Amelia Yusir as an option, Poppy Schapp potentially too, playing that mid-forward role who we took in the draft. But there's quite a few options for North, and I think they're very flexible because they're obviously one of the contenders as they are each year, and they're going to get some great value at the back end of the draft.
Absolutely, and plenty of depth in that North Melbourne side already, so going to be a scary prospect with a few of the players linked there. The next two sides are with me, starting with Richmond, and they've got their first pick at number 5 in the draft to go with 16 among that sort of top end, and then a few later picks in 48, 50 and 54. So, I mean, what they're going to do with pick 5 is really up to, I guess, what St Kilda does the pick before. So if you're looking at best available talent, Tara Slender, at least in our eyes, is probably exactly that. And we've spoken about it a little bit earlier, but fits a couple of needs in that she can play midfield in the future. But as a key forward or key defender, she's as versatile in the air and at ground level as anyone in the talent pool. Then you've got the likes of, I guess, Amanda Link, who might be in contention, Stella Reid, a couple of Oakley Chargers midfielders there. Jade Anthony could be right up there as well in the Victorian picks. And, you know, even the likes of Ella Friend. But if you're looking at that pick 16, Aurora Smith's the girl who I went with in our Phantom draft. I think she suits, I guess, the outside running need that they might look for. And that could see the likes of Ali McKenzie play more permanently in the centre bounces and then rest forward. So sort of playing to her weapons there and what they already have. So, yeah, plenty of options for Richmond down the order. They obviously have Georgia Livingston, who might be a father-daughter selection, but given there hasn't been any news in terms of her nomination, that might not happen. But, yeah, plenty of players in contention there. St Kilda, obviously the player the team, sorry, linked with Richmond, given they both have high picks, and the Saints are at number 4 once again, so they're going to get a quality player to join the likes of Patrikios and Tiana Smith. So we're looking again at the likes of Slender, Ling, Reid, all in line for that first pick. I think Jade Anthony is one at pick 12 that the Saints might look at. Obviously, the Dandenong and St Kilda link is pretty strong with Molly McDonald, one who's previously gone there, and you know, when they started out, they definitely tipped into that Dandenong pool. And Saints also have, along with pick 12 and 4, they've got pick 36. So it's going to be interesting to see who they go with down the line there. Obviously, they've got the whole pool in front of them to see who's gone and evaluate their options. So they also would have had the option to take a few more, but given they've got a full list, won't be able to. So the Saints, plenty of options to consider. West Coast is the next team. We're going to head back west with Peter. Who are the Eagles going to pick from? They obviously have the first pick in the West Australian pool.
Yeah, we briefly mentioned it with the Fremantle preview, but for West Coast, I think Courtney Rowley is the way that they'll go with this selection. They do have Amy Franklin as a potential option if they go tall, but they also know that chances are Sarah Lackey will be there at their second, third selection that they have together. So chances are they'll go Rowley and then be able to pick up Lackey with potentially another midfielder, maybe Charlotte Thomas, who can play forward or mid, who could also be that tall option if they wanted to play her as a tall forward. Amy Franklin, you'd expect, would be off the board with Fremantle. But if for whatever reason they don't pick Franklin, then West Coast would be over the moon taking both Rowley and Franklin with their selections. Dana East's another one that I think you could pair up with Rowley. Really good, so that inside-outside combination. And then, you know, later on, they've only got sort of those couple of later picks in between Fremantle's abundance of ones. So whether or not they look for a tall forward like Halfpenny, as we sort of mentioned earlier, from Norwood, or perhaps they go for someone more immediate as well, like a Naira Anderson, who's been coming through the program, Tessa Demanis. They're ready-made, ready to go. They need that bit more experience. Or if they go for more of your developing type, like your Beth Schillings or someone along that line, one of the VFLW players coming across like Meissner or Runnels. So it'll be interesting to see what they do, but I certainly think they're in a great position. Three of the first four in the WA pool means they're guaranteed two of the three AFLW Academy members. And if they can get Rowley and Franklin, it would be brilliant. But obviously Rowley and Thomas as well is a great result, especially when they can get Lackey as another tall. So very good times for West Coast.
Absolutely going to be able to pick up a couple of really talented West Aussies there are the Eagles. And rounding out the club by club previews are the Western Bulldogs, obviously another young team on the rise. And they've had a previous history of taking a lot of high draft picks, but they're a little down the order this year with picks 22, 25 and 27. So they're going to be able to see how the clubs have gone before them, how they've picked, and then evaluate their options from there. So yeah, as I said, a little bit of a lower selection. We know that they like to go with Vic Metro girls as well, given obviously Nathan Burke, the coach, having that link, coached a lot of those girls in the past. So you know, it's really a mixed bag of who's left in that Victorian pool. We saw the likes of Annie Lee slip through all the way to pick 22 or 23 in our Phantom draft. So whether she gets down to that pick, you know, remains to be seen. I don't think that'll happen. But yeah, there's going to be a heap of talent. The likes of Brooke Vickers and outside mid, Gabby Featherston, if they want a bit of tall cover. Eliza James is one who could pop up as well as a dynamic forward type. We obviously had Brooke Hards taken, Peter there taking her at pick 27 out of the VFLW pool. So there's so many, you know, you're looking at probably a bit of midfield depth and key position support for the Dogs. So it'd be interesting to see who they go with. But that just about wraps up all of our club by club evaluations and previews. We're going to go over a few of the key draft topics as well before we wrap up. So tell me, guys, we spoke of the Geelong pool, and obviously they've got those four first round selections. They like to pick local, but Peter, do you think there are a couple of others in the works as well at the top end? Because obviously we're thinking that Georgie Prasparkas will be taken with that first pick in the Vic pool, but the GWV Rebels have a good link to the VFLW system. Who else is in the pipeline there for the Cats?
Yeah, I reckon obviously Prasparkas is the clear standout for that first selection. But after that, I think it's going to be a case of they'll want to take it all. So you'd have to say if one of Friend or Slender will be available, that they'd go for that option, both country players, both on that western side, if you like, of Victoria. So they're obviously a couple of good options. But I think if the Falcons are available and they're around that region, they'll definitely look at them. Tess Craven, I think, would be a no-brainer. If she's on the board, depends how obviously both St Kilda and Richmond go, but if she's there, they'll certainly consider her. And then you've got Lee, Schapp and Featherston, all other Falcons. And then later on, obviously Hootsma and Dowling might be a little early considering where their picks lie. They're all sort of in the top 10 for the Vic pool, but you know, they might opt for them as well. So they might go completely local, or they'll try and potentially get a couple of those talls, because I do feel they need one of those talls. So I feel if they're able to get one of them, they might just stick local after that. But I think they're in a position now where they can go for best available and just fill needs, regardless if they're a Falcon or if they're potentially another NAB League club representative.
And there are plenty of needs to fill for the Cats as well after their off season. But looking at mature ages and maybe even top ages, some of the 19-year-old talents, Amanda Ling's obviously the top 19-year-old we're thinking in this pool. But there's the likes of Tegan Cunningham and Leah Caslow, who have nominated for the draft again this year. They're obviously among a couple of the leading candidates, and Cunningham in particular is quite an interesting one, given she retired at the end of the season. But Pete, who do you think are some of the others? Obviously, you mentioned some as well who are in the works and might get a look in this year.
Yeah, we mentioned, obviously, you know, the Collingwood ones who are around the mark, Imogen Barnett. You've got Matilda Zander. You've got Liv Maher, of course, 19-year-old. We mentioned Brooke Hards from Bulldogs. There's Alana Barber from Essendon's another one, been playing some good footy through the midfield for them. Tara Bahana is another one for St Kilda, I think. You know, playing for Southern Saints, she could be one they look at to upgrade. Chloe Leonard, of course, is another overage or top ager, if you like, in the under-19s program, had a really good season. So I think that she's got to be one that they really take a look at. That could well be someone, obviously Geelong, it's a bit difficult where their picks are, but she's one that has done not too much wrong early on this year. So there's a few overages. We mentioned Leah Cutting could well be one over in SA, and then Tessa Demanis, of course, is mature age. Naira Anderson's another one. Madison Goodwin up in Queensland, as well as Steph O'Brien, the netballer. So there's a few that are running around across the whole country, and it'll be very interesting to see who gets picked up. I do feel like Megan Keeley's probably the clear standout, though, from North, and I think that she could well cost a very early pick. And North will be hoping, I presume that she'll be there for one of theirs. But yeah, we'll see how that goes. I definitely think that she and Sarah Skinner are two that'll be very highly sought after.
And in terms of the tall options, Declan, obviously there are a few around the country that are really garnering interest, but they're going to be taken by, I guess, their own states. So it leaves the Vic pool a little bare with Georgia Campbell, arguably the top tall prospect heading to Melbourne. Do you think that perhaps if Zoe Prowse, for example, opted to nominate for the Vic pool, that she'd be the number one selection there?
Maybe the number one tall, yes. I'm not sure about overall.
That's what I was going with.
Yeah, I haven't seen too much of her, but from what we did see, especially at the under 19s championships, like the suggestion from that we gathered that she'd be one of the top ones. And you know, even looking over at WA, you'd think that someone like Amy Franklin would be going particularly high in the Vic pool as well. So there is probably a little bit of a lack of tall options. I think the top end ones are really good. Obviously, you know, we've spoken about Ella Friend and Tara Slender so much. They're really good. And then, you know, Nike Dojic is another one that I think all of us really like. But I think, yeah, the lack of options in the tall department is probably going to see clubs reach for a few. So not saying that they're bad players, that maybe Talia Gillard and Grace Matzer, for example, go a little bit earlier than they otherwise would have had there been a little bit more depth, or if it was a national draft.
Absolutely. We like a bit of competition for players and bidding wars, and that's what the trading's for as well. Obviously, we don't have live trading, but clubs trying to get up the order, obviously, during the trade period and ensure that they can get the players that they are after. But that just about wraps up our discussion for this edition of the Final Siren podcast. And there's going to be plenty more content for you to digest and get through in the lead up to tonight's draft. Obviously, the AFLW draft guide is live and available for free for you. There's, I think 60 draft profiles on our draft profile page and many more in the draft guide as well for you to get through, obviously, beforehand or during the broadcast as well. We've got our nationwide power rankings, which went up last night via our very own Peter Williams. And on draft night tonight, we're going to have pick-by-pick coverage over social media. Make sure you send through all your questions via our social media channels on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We're going to have a complete wrap-up after the fact and full analysis of the club-by-club picks as well. So plenty to get through. I'm pretty much out of breath now. I'm going to thank Peter Williams for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks. It's been really good. Looking forward to the draft tonight.
And Declan, thank you again.
No worries. Thanks for having me. And like Peter, I'm really looking forward to the draft tonight.
absolutely keen to see how many of these girls get to realise their dreams, not just now, but in future. But until then, we'll see you later.